This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In this edition today, our bulletin of church news that will be followed by Panorama, and then our feature of Echo of the African Synod. Today we shall close with a segment dedicated to Millennium Appointment. My name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. Pope Francis on Monday awarded Italian President Sergio Mattarella with the Paul the VI International Prize. Mattarella personally received the award from the Holy Father in a ceremony that took place on the feast day of St. Paul the VI inside the Vatican. Francesca Mello reports.
Addressing the participants in the award ceremony in the Vatican's Clementine Hall, the Pope recalled that Pope St. Paul VI is also to be thanked for the Second Vatican Council, which emphasized the role of the lay faithful. Prominent amongst their occupations is politics, said the Pope, describing politics as one of the highest forms of charity. But, the Pope continued, we may ask ourselves how to make political action a form of charity, and on the other hand, how to live charity within political dynamics. The answer lies in the word service, the Pope continued. St. Paul VI said that those who experience public power must regard themselves as the servants of their fellow countrymen, with the disinterestedness and integrity befitting their high office. He who does not live to serve does not live to live, said the Pope, adding, I believe that today the award of Paul VI Prize to President Mattarella is a beautiful occasion to celebrate the value and dignity of service, the highest style of living which puts others before one's own expectations. Addressing President Mattarella directly, the Pope went on to stress that this is true for him, a fact witnessed by the Italian people. Pope Francis then went on to stress that to make service complete, one must also apply responsibility. Service goes hand in hand with responsibility, said Pope Francis. It is, as the word itself indicates, the ability to offer answers, drawing on one's own commitment without waiting for others to give them. Bringing his discourse to a close, the Pope reiterated that, yes, the sense of responsibility and the spirit of service were for St. Paul VI at the basis of the construction of social life. He left behind a legacy of building communities of solidarity, and that was his dream. I'm Francesca Merlo.
In a special audience on Monday, Pope Francis received some 1,500 children that came from a number of countries in Africa. The children's meeting with the Pope came on the occasion of the annual Africa Day, celebrated on 25th May. In his address to the African kids, Pope Francis exhorted them to be ambassadors of peace in their respective countries. Lisa Zengarini reports.
Introducing his address in the Paul VI Audience Hall, Pope Francis recalled that Africa Day is a symbol of the struggle of the entire African continent for liberation, development and social progress, as well as for the strengthening of Africa's cultural patrimony, and that the children attending the audience are the sign of this rich cultural diversity. He therefore reiterated the call he addressed to young people in his apostolic exhortation, Christus Vincit, to dare to be different by bearing witness to the struggle for justice and the common good, love for the poor, and social friendship. The Pope invited them to continue pursuing their dreams for a better future and not to be discouraged by the enormous challenges faced by the African continent today, remarking that one of Africa's riches is the keen intelligence of its young people. Drawing attention to the scourge of children soldiers, he also called upon those present to be close to their unfortunate peers so that they do not feel rejected and stigmatized. Pope Francis then insisted again on the importance for young people to dialogue with their elders. Dialoguing with our roots, he said, allows us to move forward. Concluding, Pope Francis urged those present to be ambassadors of peace by living peace around them and within them so that the world can rediscover the beauty of living together, of fraternity and solidarity in these trying times of great danger for humanity marred by war. I am Lisa Zengarini.
The Vatican on Monday published recommendations on how to love your neighbor better on social media, entitled Towards Full Presence, a Pastoral Reflection on Engagement with Social Media. The 20-page text addresses the challenges that Christians face in using social media. The manuscript was signed by the prefect of the Dicastery for Social Communication, Paolo Ruffini. The pastoral reflections include, among many other topics, information overload, constant scrolling, especially of cell phones, not giving others one's full attention, witnessing to Christ, the need for silence and building community in a fragmented world. The pastoral reflections warn about the significant cognitive challenge of digital culture, which it says is the loss of our ability to think deeply and purposefully. At the end of the launch ceremony, the prefect of the Dicastery for Communication, Paolo Ruffini, spoke to Vatican Radio's Deborah Lubav about what the communications pastoral reflections are all about.
If you could explain the need for a document of this nature and what value do you hope it produces for the Church?
From the very beginning of the Dicastery, we all perceived the need of making a reflection and then a document. And that was many, many years that was not a document on this. And in the meanwhile, the technology was rapidly changing. And so the needs come from this and from questions that we received from bishops all around the world and experts and communicators, young and older. And so it was necessary for us to have a reflection that is not just on the technology, because technology is so rapidly changing, but a reflection that's starting from the gospel as a theological and pastoral perspective on how to deal with technology that is changing, how to maybe convert technology to a more human environment. Because it's not the technology that has to be converted, but we as men and women that are inventing the technology.
Prefect of the Dicastery for Social Communication, Paolo Ruffini. The Nigerian Catholic priest who was kidnapped on 26th May has been released. Father Matthias Opara is from the Archdiocese of Owerri and was captured by unknown gunmen as he retained from a funeral of the father of one of his fellow priests. He is said to be in good health and has since gaining his freedom on Pentecost Sunday. Retained to the Holy Ghost Obosima Parish of Owerri, where he serves as parish priest. Nigeria has been battling a surge of violence orchestrated by gangs whose members carry out indiscriminate attacks, kidnapping for ransom, and in some cases, killing. You are tuned to the Daily Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
I'm Father Paul Samasumo. Nigeria's President Bola Tinubu has been sworn in Monday as Nigerian President succeeding Muhammadu Buhari. For Bola Ahmed Tinubu, 71 years old, the inauguration as president is a fulfillment of a long-cherished dream he has always entertained. Several African heads of state and government attended the ceremony. Outgoing President Muhammadu Buhari says he leaves the country better than he found it. Analysts think the reality is much more complex. While Buhari assumed power on a crest of tremendous goodwill, pledging to tackle corruption, insecurity, and economic hardships, the feeling on the street is that the goodwill has largely been squandered. In spite of the jihadists in the northeastern part of Nigeria suffering recent heavy losses because of military bombardments, for many Nigerians, the feeling is that the country has become more insecure under Buhari. Criminal gangs, bandits, and headsmen terrorize populations in the northwest, north, central, and southeast of Nigeria. According to Nigeria's premium newspaper, Buhari is leaving behind an ill-equipped, inefficient, and centralized policing system. On the economic front, a bag of rice, a staple food in Nigeria, which sold for 5,000 naira in 2015 when Buhari came to power, was selling between 30,000 and 50,000 naira in January of 2023. Nevertheless, Buhari is given credit for huge infrastructure renewal, such as highways, bridges, and recently the Dangote oil refinery. Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni has been giving details about last Friday's attack on his army's military base in Somalia by Al-Shabaab militants. Museveni says about 800 Al-Shabaab militants managed to overrun the facility that was managed by 200 Ugandan troops. Many lives were lost, though neither Museveni nor Uganda's military gave figures. Al-Shabaab militants attacked the Ugandan base of the African Union's transition mission in Somalia. They destroyed military equipment and took away with them some of the sophisticated weaponry. Museveni revealed that some of the Ugandan soldiers did not perform as was expected and panicked, which led to disorganization, and Al-Shabaab took advantage of the situation to overrun the base. While he offered condolences to the country and families of those who died, Museveni strongly criticized sending to UN missions soldiers who are ill-prepared and are attracted only by the lucrative UN allowances. You are tuned to the English Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
The African Synod, the Church Alive in Africa Today.
Hello and welcome to the program. I am Festus Tarawali. In this edition, Devin Watkins takes a look at Pope Francis's ecumenical pilgrimage to South Sudan from the 3rd to the 5th of February this year. The program was first aired during the first week of February as part of Vatican Radio's weekly podcast series in English, Vatican Viewpoint. The Pope undertook the apostolic pilgrimage along with the Archbishop of Canterbury and the moderator of the Church of Scotland.
Vatican Viewpoint, the Church in the World, seen from Rome. A podcast produced by Vatican Radio. I'm your host, Devin Watkins.
The greatest support in their suffering was the prayer of this holy man, the Holy Father, Pope Francis.
Bishop Christian Carlassare of Rumbek Diocese there. He's talking about the Pope's three-day apostolic journey to South Sudan over the weekend.
I think the trip comes with an effect at the local South Sudan, which I'll come back to, and an effect at the global.
And that is the Anglican Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby. He made the ecumenical pilgrimage to South Sudan with Pope Francis and the Right Reverend Ian Greenshields, the moderator of the Church of Scotland. We'll come back to the ecumenical aspect of the visit in a moment.
Affidiamo la causa della pace in Sud Sudan e nell'intero continente africano.
Our Lady of Africa is here with us. We pray to her now and entrust to her the cause of peace in South Sudan and in the entire African continent.
Pope Francis heard through an interpreter offered his final blessing to the people of South Sudan in English.
The Lord be with you. Blessed the name of the Lord. Our help is in the name of the Lord. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
His three-day visit to South Sudan saw the Pope focus heavily on the theme of peace and reconciliation in the world's youngest nation, born in 2011 from the ashes of Sudan's civil war.
And then he broke into a conflict that was so bad and so disturbing and so frustrating for the people. that they found in the Pope a person that was always mentioning about South Sudan, praying for South Sudan.
Bishop Carlos Sare says the Pope's closeness to the Northeast African nation has been a great blessing and encouragement amid a trying time of uncertainty and frustration.
I think his coming is like to give to the people what is theirs. He had to give first attention to the institutions of South Sudan, to call them for peace. But at the same time, the Pope had to come to see the people that are those that carry the wounds of this terrible situation and the conflict in South Sudan.
The bishops of South Sudan have made it clear that the conflict in the country is not fundamentally one of ethnic strife.
Conflictuality in South Sudan is very complicated. There being in the past this conflict from 2013 to 2019 that was very political, that then took also some ethnic colors. But these did not affect our diocese or the territory of our diocese. What really affected us was that in time of conflict, a flood of weapons arrived to the country. And these weapons were distributed to different communities so that they could keep security in their own place. But of course, when there are weapons, there is no security. We cannot keep safety because we have weapons.
After 2019, the political conflict has diminished, but local violence remains as various clans fight over resources.
Still, there are some conflictuality in some remote areas because of cows, but people, they know how to solve those problems. The big problems of South Sudan are those conflicts that are man-made to have access to power and resources. And those conflicts are very difficult that the local culture is maybe able to solve them because they have roots somewhere else.
Young people came out in droves to see Pope Francis. They make up around 80% of church communities in some areas. So his call for peace was addressed to them directly.
And youth, they are those people that have suffered most during this conflict, because they really believe that the poorest people are not those that are without resources, but those that are not able to enjoy the resources they have. And so many youth in this country have been manipulated for reasons of power or different kind of interest. And so I think that many youth do come to the church because they see that the church is a house of hope that gives them a vision, that trusts them.
You're listening to Vatican Viewpoint. This week, we're focusing on Pope Francis's apostolic journey to South Sudan on February 3rd to 5th, 2023.
The fact that these three religious leaders have gone together for the first time ever, certainly since the Reformation, before which two of our churches did not exist, is a sign of hope for peace and reconciliation around the world.
At the end of the visit, Archbishop Justin Welby said it is impressive for Christian leaders to move as one. He pointed out that we Christians spent 150 years killing each other after the Protestant Reformation, then another 300 years condemning one another.
We need a change of heart. The move of the Spirit in the churches, especially many moves within the charismatic movement, I would suggest, and moves among congregations at a local level, have broken down many of the barriers between us and have enabled us to live ecumenism. So you have ecumenism acted out.
Over half of South Sudan's population is Christian, most of whom are Catholic, with a large percentage of Anglicans and Presbyterians. And that's why the Pope went with Archbishop Welby and Right Reverend Greenshields.
In South Sudan, my cry and prayer is for the human hearts of the leadership to be changed. When I was speaking out there, you could hear the shouts from the crowd when any of us mentioned peace, the security of women, and the need for an end to corruption. The people of South Sudan are calling for peace. The leaders must give it.
Among the many South Sudanese on hand to see the Pope were around 60 young people from Rumbek Town. That's the diocese of Bishop Kalasari, whom we heard from earlier. They walked all the way to Juba, which took 9 days, as part of a pilgrimage.
They are coming from all of the parishes around our diocese. They're coming from the De La Salle School, they're coming from the Loreto School, which means they're also coming from other states and from other tribes. We have the young men who are discerning the priesthood. We have other young men who are already seminarians. So it's quite a diverse group that we have from different parishes, different clans, different tribes, different parts of South Sudan. Most are Catholic, though quite a number are also coming from the ECSS community as well.
Sister Orla Tracy there. She's a Loreto sister and missionary from Ireland serving in Rumbek.
Peace was a very focal point to us in the different parishes because the young people had created a drama around conflict and peace. And every evening they would present that to the local community members and talk to the community about the issue of peace. It was very well received. We have been very well received. And it's been a beautiful experience for all of our young people as well.
Now let's hear from a couple of those young people. Here is Rebecca from Rumbek.
I'm happy that he's coming, and particularly with the message of peace, and that is what all South Sudanese are crying for. They're like, we need peace, and if there's someone as old as he is, and he's coming, like with the message of peace, it's better that all of us listen and expect him to come, and at least we'll have peace and people will understand his words, will understand.
And last but certainly not least is James Morang.
All these years there has been war in our country here. People are fighting among themselves, and there are no supports among the youth. No one was supporting them. I expect that we shall all together join up and we build our country, and we'll always be promoting ourselves, and one day, one time, we'll be a peaceful country. So I'm expecting that, and not to only the youth, but to also our leaders.
Our thanks there to Devin Watkins for that episode on Pope Francis's ecumenical pilgrimage to South Sudan earlier this year. And that's all we have time for today. Till the same time next week, I am Festus Tarawali.
You are welcome to this week's edition of Millennium Appointment. As you heard on this program, on the 20th of this month of May, Pope Francis authorized the Dicastery for the Causes of Saints to promulgate a decree recognizing the heroic virtues of the servant of God, Father Simon Mpeke, commonly known as Baba Simon. Father Mpeke was born in 1906 to non-Christian peasant parents in a place called Batombe in present Cameroon. He began schooling in 1914 in a school owned by the German Palutin Fathers, where he underwent Christian instruction. He was baptized in 1918 by the Holy Ghost missionaries in Edeam and given the name Simon. After school, he taught in a mission primary school in Edea, to which he also became a head teacher. In 1921, he learned from the missionaries that black young men who lived a dedicated Catholic life could also become priests. He turned down his wedding arrangements with a young girl to whom he was betrothed and began studying Latin with a small group of friends. In August 1924, he was admitted into the seminary at Yaoundé, and after 11 years of formation, he was ordained a priest on 8th December 1935 for the Diocese of Douala. Information provided by the clergy and lay people who knew him before and after his ordination says that he was a dedicated priest full of zeal, humble, a man of prayer, and a talented leader. In 1947, he was appointed parish priest of the parish of New Bailey in Douala. According to eyewitnesses, while there, he started various congregations and brotherhoods and also supported different Catholic action groups and schools. The faithful said he was a generous priest who was always available to his parishioners in moments of joy and difficulties. In 1953, he joined the Secular Institute of the Brothers of Jesus and asked for a sabbatical year in order to have a spiritual experience with them in Algeria. He later became one of the founders at the international level of the Union of the Priestly Fraternity of Jesus Caritas and its first head in Cameroon and in Africa. In 1959, Father Mpeke asked his bishop to be permitted to go to the north of the country in the present Catholic Diocese of Marua Mokolo to evangelize the people there who were considered pagans. He settled in a place called Tokombere, inhabited mainly by a persecuted and marginalized ethnic group known as the Kidis. There, he taught the gospel and lived a life of poverty like the Kidis, walking barefooted like them. No wonder that he was referred to as the barefooted missionary. The people in the area describe him as a joyful man of intense prayer who shared the love of God with them. He is credited for starting schools, health centers, promoting youth, and speaking out against injustices in their communities. Father Mpeke is also credited with starting dialogue with leaders of the African traditional religion and of the Muslim faith, thus becoming the forerunner of interreligious dialogue, which was re-emphasized by the Second Vatican Council. Because of his dedication to evangelization and because of his friendly character, which earned him respect and the friendship of both Christians and non-Christians in North Cameroon, he was nicknamed Baba Simon, which means Father Simon. He died on 13th August 1975 in Tokombere, where he is still referred to as Baba Simon. The first step of his cause for sainthood was started in 1995 by the Catholic Diocese of Marua Mokolo, and with that he was referred to as a servant of God. When his heroic virtues were recognized by Pope Francis this month, he moved a step further to become a venerable. Father Mpeke's next stage now is for him to perform a miracle, which would pave the way for his beatification. The faithful in Edea, the diocese of his birth, have welcomed with joy the recognition of his heroic virtues, and those in the diocese of Marua Mokoro have described it as an encouragement for them also to live a life of virtues. I am John Baptist Tumusime.
This is the Africa Service of Vatican Radio. We shall be back with you again at the same time tomorrow. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.